Hi, folks. This is Myron from the Tapped Out Wrestling Podcast. Welcome to Marking Out. I am interviewing today someone who is challenging for the Rise title in a dog collar match at their next promotion, Angel Dust. How you doing today?
I'm pretty good. Good. Thanks for having me.
Oh, wonderful. Watched some of your matches today. Saw a bunch of, you got a pretty good moveset, but the thing that's surprising, I did not realize your size. I know people probably just go on and on about that, but you can go. Oh my God. You can throw down.
Well, I mean, considering my size, I've had to find ways to make it work. I guess you don't realize it until I'm in the ring with certain people or you know the size of a certain person, then you see, you know, the comparable size to me. Thankfully, like locally, I've managed to find a bunch of girls that are closer to my size. Obviously I'm still smaller, but, I've gotten pretty lucky when it comes to, finding move sets and ways to move in the ring and do things that, make me look bigger than I, you know, actually am and look believable and look good. So thank you.
Well, I saw you, I watched a little bit of a match with you and Maria Manic, and I was like, I didn't realize Maria Manic was that big, but you were just all over her. A very impressive match. You were trained by Johnny Gargano, who I know, Mr. Wrestling, a guy who's made quite a name for himself at NXT recently, and a JT Lightning. I'm not familiar with the JT Lightning guy.
Boy, I feel bad not having like a good long story for JT. JT passed away of cancer about 5, going on 6 years ago, I believe. Uh-huh. It's been a few years. He's been a Cleveland wrestling legend, so to speak, for many years before I even knew anything about indie wrestling or knew anything about him. If you look him up, I promise you will be more than entertained by him in and out of the ring, his promos, everything. The guy was just super smart to indie wrestling. By all means, I enthuse everybody to go check out JT Lightning, regardless of the time frame that he was around and the fact that he hasn't been around in years.
Good wrestling transcends time. It doesn't. Absolutely. I mean, it is good wrestling is good wrestling. People, you love it, and if it's worthwhile, you can watch wrestling even from the 80s and the 70s and the 60s and still get the feel from it. So I'm fascinated by this. I'll have to go check that guy out. So
I definitely should say you should.
You trained under these guys. When did you get into the business?
I started training in November of 2006, initially under JT. At that point, he was starting to wind down his career a little bit before he got sick with cancer and so forth, but he was still winding down in training, and he was handing over the school to Johnny Gargano at that point. And when I got there, he was 18 going on 19. He was, you know, fresh out of training himself. I mean, he'd been wrestling many years before that, you know, training when he was 14, 15, 16, whatever it may have been. So he was, you know, transitioning over to running the school himself. And JT was just running, you know, just his shows and coming to check out the classes here and there. So it was mostly Johnny more than JT, but I consider both of them definitely very formidable in helping me out in my training.
Awesome. So when I talked to Kevin Harvey the other day, he said you had been in the business a while when you met him and had been wrestling all over the place. And so I did some research and looked at some stuff, and I looked at a list of your matches, and you've wrestled in a ton of different federations, haven't you?
Yeah. I've lost track, unfortunately, of number of matches and a lot of opponents and places. Well over 15, I want to say I'm between 12, 15, and 18 states, something like that. Promotions left and right throughout Ohio, through Pennsylvania, Indiana, New York. I've been down as far as Tennessee, out to Arizona, California. So I've made my trip around just trying to, you know, get more exposure and get myself out there a little bit more than I already am.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm coming to find out in the wrestling business, whether you're a wrestler or a podcaster or a personality, that exposure is the key to everything. Who you can get yourself in front of.
Mm-hmm.
It's something strange. Nick and I, Nick's the guy who started the podcast or the idea for it. I started with him. We both came from retail backgrounds, huge wrestling fans, but retail backgrounds. And So we were kind of looking at things differently, and it's taken us a while to kind of get the groove of the business. Now, I saw that you had a military background.
Yes. Back when I was still fresh in high school, just getting out of high school, I enlisted in the military, the Army Reserves, in the summer of 2005. Went to basic training, went to high school, finished my senior year, and then my military job training the following summer. Was in for a couple of years, and then, of course, found wrestling. So kind of put that on the back burner and left everything from there.
Well, cool. I had just recently listened to that Bob Armstrong interview we'd done, and he said that his military training helped him immensely as far as toughness and, like, the mindset. Have you found that to be the same with you?
Initially, yeah. But at the same time, nothing prepares you for wrestling training. Nothing prepares you for the bumps, for the strikes and the hits and everything. People don't realize what we put our bodies through. In the same sense that people don't realize what the military goes through. Mm. I mean, I was an athlete in high school. I was, come physical, training and stuff. I was, one of the top of my class. Like, I was always athletic, always running, lifting, and so forth. But when it came to wrestling, it's completely different. I might be able to go out and run 3, 5, 10 miles, at one time, but running those ropes and taking those bumps and everything in between is completely different.
Yeah, I have a watching ring setups and the guys putting the stuff together, and it's always impressive to me to see how hard those surfaces are. Physically, to see how hard
people
they are.
Realize.
How do y'all take that?
Yeah. we don't enjoy it. We'll make it look like we're okay, but at the end of the night, every day after a show, every night after an event, it's wear and tear. That's why you see a lot of these older guys that they walk with that hunch, or so many people have bad backs and bad hips and so forth. You just don't realize how intense this is. People are like, oh, well, there's padding, oh, well, there's this. It's all a metal frame, it's all wood, it's planks and stuff. Like, people don't realize how bad it is. And on top of it, those ropes aren't loose, bungee cords. Those are tight. Like, there's such wear and tear on your body, people don't really understand and realize it unless they are a professional wrestler.
Now, do you have to take a lot of time to recover from a match, or?
I guess I've kind of gotten used to it in a way. I guess it depends on, the match and how many bumps you take, and, it's just a matter of, how wear and tear you get, and, how bad of a bump you take, or how intense it gets. But, I'd say over the years, I've kind of, sadly gotten used to it, I guess. I may have a tight neck or, a sore back, but within a day or two, it's not such, it goes away.
So physical training, is that a big factor in helping you take that kind of punishment?
As far as I'm concerned, yes. I think everybody should, if you want to be a professional wrestler, you train before, you work out, you lift weights, run, get some cardio. All that stuff helps in the long run. I myself, I've always enjoyed physical activity of sorts. For me, going to the gym, and I literally just got done with the gym before we got on the air. And I go every day. I enjoy working out. I like being in shape, and I like, what the feel of it helps me when I'm in the ring. Like, I feel like my body is more toned and conditioned and can handle those bumps and handle those bad hits a little bit more because I've allowed myself to train that way.
That's the thing. You seem to be in it. From what I've watched, I have not watched your whole match catalog. I've watched several today and some last night. I wanted to try to get prepared. You seem to be in excellent physical shape. And you can work with women much bigger than you. You've worked with men. How does the intergender matches work out? That's something that's kind of new to someone who doesn't follow the indie circuit or is new to the indie circuit, kind of like I am.
I've been wrestling ladies larger than me and intergender matches for years. As a matter of fact, my first match in February 2007 was against a guy. I say that there's an easy way to train for it. You just have to go into every match and every show with the same mindset as, you're going to go in there and wrestle the same way you're going to wrestle anywhere. Obviously, there's, the wear and tear of, making the bigger one, knocking the bigger guys and the bigger girls down, or wrestling somebody closer to my size. But at the same time, it's just like I said, I enjoy working out to where it helps me almost prepare for those instances, so to speak. It wasn't too long into my career before I started wrestling somebody like Jessica Havoc, who was, you know, a larger than life female, and she was, you know, she was huge, and I had no idea what it would take to be able to get in the ring and, you know, go with somebody like that for, you know, 8, 10, 12 minutes, whatever it may be. You know, since then to now, I've been wrestling for long enough that I'm able to adapt to those situations. I equally wrestle as many intergender matches as I do wrestling, you know, other females or larger females. At this point, I'm so used to doing both. It's interchangeable for me.
Oh, wow. Watching your matches, you remind me a lot of watching Chris Benoit when he was younger. You're smaller, but you're fiery. You strike. God, you strike like hell. You've got holds. You've never been outgunned in any of the matches I've seen you in. It didn't matter how big the person was. You were always just at them nonstop. Where do you find that intensity from?
I guess, so to speak, is always being the underdog. I've always been, you know, the smaller athlete. Like I said, back when I was in high school doing sports and athletics, I always had to make up for my size by, you know, speed and tenacity. And same thing in the military. You know, it wasn't easy carrying a rifle and a rucksack that weighed as much as I did, you know, marching 5 and 10 miles just because they wanted us to do it. You know, it's little things that have built me throughout the years to make me realize what I need to do now to adjust. You know, when I first started wrestling, I actually weighed more than I do now, but I've learned that, you know, my size and my appearance, you know, my muscle size and my appearance is what really helps and makes, you know, makes me who I am. People say, yes, I'm tiny, but like you said, like I take pride in the fact that I'm in as good a shape as I am. And I always try to look better and look stronger. And I try to be stronger, you know, so I can, you know, go ahead and go in those matches and look, you know, like a viable competitor. Like I might not have the height and the size, but I look like a believable, you know, competitor against somebody who is larger than me and, you know, whether it be male or female.
Well, I can imagine. And I watched this promo and, the woman you're fighting at the new, is it Rise 3 Medic? You've got the dog collar match. And she was cutting a promo, and you just come out there and cleaned her clock and were beating the hell out of her till they pulled you off. And I know some of that, you know, they planned that out, but God, it was psychologically believable. It was very, very intense and very believable.
Sometimes my actions get a little intense. I lose track of what I'm doing, but I mean, I mean, and first of all, in that situation, with what's going on there at Rise, my all intents and purposes are to get back at Shotzi Blackheart so I can get my title back. That's what that whole feud is. That's what is becoming of July 7th at Rise 3. Her and I are going on a singles match for, the Phoenix of Rise championship in a dog collar match. And in the past, 4 months or so now since I lost that title to her, it's been nothing but vengeance. And, you know, like you said, she has that height advantage. She's a little bit taller than me, but I have to go out there and show that I deserve that title. I want that title back.
Well, you certainly convinced me just watching through your catalog today. It's like, damn, she's got a spark. She's got a fire. Do you ever get a comparison to, say, Alexa Bliss, who is on the WWE main roster?
No, I feel like I haven't gotten too many comparisons as of late. I used to get comparisons to Daisy Hayes, who I've never had the opportunity to even meet. She retired a couple years back, but I never worked for Shimmer or any place to be able to meet her. But I've yet to be compared to too many other females, at least not to my face that I've heard. So far, no, but I would appreciate, you know, anything like that.
I'd say you've got a really unique thing going on. It's an intensity, like I said, that the only thing I can compare it to would be like a Chris Benoit. And you seem to have a powerful moveset to go along with that. And I saw you do something, that I've always been curious about. I saw where you blew the green mist. Is that something y'all train on or something you practice? Or is that, I've seen people spit fire, but the mist has always been that Asian type wrestling gimmick. Is that something you picked up working with Rosemary?
Yeah, that is, I won't get too much into that, as that's where I'm building, myself with her in Rise and Shimmer. I've kind of allowed her to take me as a mentor, taking me under her wing. That's what I went there for. I went there to, show who I am, that 10 years in this business, I've been working hard to get where I'm at. And, knowing her wrestling background and her amazing, background right now with TNA and this Rosemary character, I just wanted to take the opportunity to learn and adjust. And, with that came some of, her ideals and her is, and including the mist and so forth. She's been the one to mostly, bring that out of me and so forth. And I mean, we'll see where things go from here. I won't get too far into that character wise and that and so forth, but, that's all because of joining in with Rosemary and yeah. Allowing her to help me adjust my character and my career.
Yeah. I've seen, that promo that Kevin directed me to, prior to, Rise 3, and it was quite scary. You've got a great intensity that works, and it conveys in the promo also. You work with the crowd, and you don't take any shit out of a crowd. I've seen you yelling back at people in that match you had. Can't remember who the opponent was, but it was tables and chairs and ladders all in the ring, and it was the amount of bumps you were able to take. Do you train on taking those extreme bumps, or is that something you have to learn as you do it? Like a bump through a table?
You literally learn that as you go. there's no training for that. It's I'm not sure which match that was off the top. I did a couple years back have a kind of a no disqualification, any rules at a. It wasn't necessarily a death match, but it was during a death match event. I took on Brittany Blake.
That was it. And, that was it.
Is that it? Okay. Yeah, I took that double stomp through the table. There was nothing to prepare for that. nothing. Thumbtacks, chairs, anything any of these guys and girls do, there's no way to prepare for that unless by some chance you were in a horrific accident that you went through a windshield that you get used to going through glass or something of that, extreme. Uh-huh. There's no way to prepare for it otherwise.
Now, I saw a picture of you where you'd got some color, where you'd bled. Is that something that you've done on a regular basis, or how do you gauge when that happens?
Definitely not on a regular basis. As a matter of fact, there's been a few number of years. The last time that any kind of incident of bleeding has happened was a more or less an accident in the ring. I was going for a move and got hung up in a rope or got caught or something. And I hit of course, we were just talking about how the ring is unforgivable and it's not all fun and glamour and a trampoline or so forth. That the framing of most rings are metal, and I caught the metal corner of the ring. And thankfully, we had somebody in the back who was of a helping hand, and I actually super glued my head back together because I didn't want to go to the hospital. But I guess that's probably a bad idea. Now I have a scar.
No. I mean, I'm a pharmacist. I've been treating people. People come to me with accidents. Like, I don't know. I'm not a doctor. But my daughter split her chin open one time when she was smaller, and I glued it back together with super glue. Now that was. I had to put her in a headlock to get that done, but it works. It works. It'll work. You don't want to get stitches.
Yeah, it's not ideal, but it works. But I mean, like I said, I think before that, the only other time that's happened, I think maybe two or three match, maybe. The last one I can remember it being was with Jessica Havoc, at AIW, in Cleveland Absolute Intense Wrestling. And, I think it was for the women's title up there. And, It's just a brawl. It was a street fight. And I mean, surprisingly enough, with certain crowds, they interact in a different weird way. And when they saw that I came up bleeding, they were more than ecstatic to get behind. So I guess it depends on where you're at. Some places aren't too sure, but if you come up to Cleveland, they sure don't mind violence and gore. That's for sure.
Well, we hang out with a couple of local circuits around here, and there's one that's in Atlanta that the fans stand next to the ring, basically. And sometimes it's standing room only. And then we work with one outside the perimeter that is more rural, and everybody stays behind barricades. It's a different experience, but it's nice to have that ability to see different things. And where I was building this, we have a friend that graduated a couple of years before my buddy Nick at the high school, and his statement on getting color was, I don't do it very much anymore, but if it's something that's important to the storyline, I'll do it. And right. I think that's probably the best way to put it, because when you waste the blood and you go for those, you know, the fluorescent light tubes and stuff like that in every match, it doesn't make it special. You know, it's like a payoff in old school wrestling where you'd build to the final match and y'all would have the match where everybody would get their head split open and Ric Flair would bleed everywhere kind of thing.
Right. And it's still the same way to a point now, but especially with girls, and it's definitely becoming more of, it's not happening much, at least not that I've noticed, but it's definitely becoming more of like a very like, oh, if this happens, you know something, you know, that this feud with these girls or this instance, this stuff is insane, this is crazy, like I have to see what's going on. Mm. And that's the purpose of it, is to draw that attention and people go, wow, what happened and what did I miss? Like I need to see what's going on and why this happened.
Yeah. I saw Sue Young about a month ago in Atlanta, and she scared the living hell out of me. So, yes, everybody was paying attention to what she was doing. Who do you see as your biggest influences, though? What wrestlers did you base yourself around?
Initially, I was just on another interview, and I told them Shawn Michaels was forever be my favorite wrestler. Always loved Shawn Michaels, and I know that sounds weird being a girl, but when I grew up, there weren't as many competitive females. It was more bra and panties or valets,
yeah,
or little spots here and there. There weren't a ton of female wrestlers, at least not on WWE, WWF then.
No, not at all.
But Shawn Michaels, Eddie Guerrero, Chris Benoit, Triple H, all those guys, and then of course as you know, women's wrestling grew. I've always paid attention to like Lita and, you know, Mickie James, you know, Trish Stratus, Victoria, like these ladies, even still today are, of an effort for girls to pay attention to, no matter how old their matches are or whatever. Like I just enjoy being able to learn from any era of wrestling, and especially now the way women's wrestling is becoming, it's always great to just be able to catch on to what's the new thing, who's the new top girl, new top guy, what are they doing that's different than, you know, everybody else, and to kind of learn and adjust from.
Oh, definitely. I saw something today where the women are going to main event Raw, they're going to main event SmackDown in NXT in the same week, and everybody's like, oh, that's just great. I'm like, it's just what the people want. Mm-hmm. It's so good these days. They do something that the men aren't doing. They're showing emotion. They're almost unscripted. And that, to me, is what draws me more to the women's wrestling. Like you said, I grew up earlier. I remember the first WrestleManias with Wendy Richter and Moolah. You don't get more not sexually attractive than that. And then I went through the Attitude Era where it was all bra and panties, and there was that attraction. But now people are watching for the legitimate quality of the matches.
Absolutely.
Where do you see the development in the women's revolution going?
You can already see where it's going. You know, not only are they picking in, you know, and finding a lot of very talented females, you know, athletes and so forth, but everybody who wants, you know, every female that wants anything in wrestling, whether it be WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, or even just to be able to just to travel all over the world, everybody is stepping up their game. And now is an ideal time for women's wrestling, not just, you know, because of the women's classic, the women's revolution. It's time for everybody to realize that women's wrestling, you know, is being more serious. Of course, there are still the, you know, beautiful ladies that, you know, have a good look and, you know, are very pretty and, you know, the blonde bombshells. But on top of it, they can wrestle, and they can wrestle almost as good, just as good, and if not better than the other guys. So everybody wants to be able to jump in on board in attention to that. And I'm glad that so many females are finally stepping up and wanting that too. You know, like I said, 10 years, you see that transition slowly. And I never pay attention to it until fairly recently of that difference between when I first started to now. Of course, I had that handful of girls that locally I wrestled Sassy Steph all the time when I first started. Her and I were roughly coming at the same time. Both of us are about the same length of time in the business. And, you know, we wrestled with Jessica Havoc, Nevaeh Chris, Ashley Lane, Madison Rain. All of us kind of in a way came up together. You know, they were all a little further in, you know, time wise than me, but they were all girls who wanted to, you know, be a part of what is now this women's revolution, and they all deserve to be, even, you know, 10 years later. But you could boil out the girls who back then who were just there to be eye candy or to try and make money or to, you know, be with the boys or whatever the case may be, as opposed to, like I said, these handful of girls that I was constantly around who wanted to be athletes, who wanted to step up and who wanted to be noticed and be different. And I'm glad that all of that's coming together. And even then, those girls that I just named, they are still a part of, you know, women's wrestling and making that difference.
Wow, that's a really great statement there. That's kind of profound. I'm going to go back and listen to that again. I don't typically listen to my own work, but you said a mouthful. Wow.
I may have lost track of what I was saying too.
No, it's awesome. It's awesome. Like I said, conversation is the best part of this business. Was it hard for you to find training? I know. I don't know how the wrestling developmental schools were in the north where you're at. But was it hard for you to get accepted or get into a school?
Initially, like I said, I was telling someone before, my background story, all I knew, growing up was the WWF, WWE. I didn't pay much attention to WCW when it got popular. I knew nothing, literally nothing about independent professional wrestling. I knew nothing about, you know, New Japan, nothing about overseas, nothing. I was telling the story that, I was sitting out one night watching Raw or watching a rerun or something, and my mom came to me and was like, hey, did you check out this wrestling promotion on such and such channel this night at midnight? I was like, no, what are you talking about? And one night I stayed up and found it, and that's where I found JT's school, Cleveland All Pro Wrestling. Mm-hmm. He had a little local channel. He was on, I think, like Fox Sports Net or something like that, something small local. So I watched a couple episodes, and, you know, he had like the advertisement for the next show is at the end of one of the commercials or something. And, that's how I actually went and trained. Prior to that, I had no knowledge of what to do. When I was in the military, I started looking for wrestling schools. Hmm. I found Monster Factory. I want to say OVW, maybe just before it was OVW or just starting out, not necessarily developmental, but maybe just before that. Maybe one or two others that I knew nothing about. I didn't know what was, you know, what was legit, what was real, what was just, you know, I knew nothing. I was saving money to go to Monster Factory out in New Jersey. I was saving all the money that I was going through the military training with to make that move out to, you know, take the however long I needed to train, move my unit and take everything over and go there until my mom found that promotion. And so the promotion, you know, JT, Cleveland All Pro, he ran about 20 minutes or so from where my, you know, I was in the reserves. So my military unit, I went 1 weekend a month. He ran his shows about 20 minutes from where my unit was. So I left my drill one night and went straight over to watch his show. And I caught like the main event and stuck around after the show in my uniform, helping tear down the ring, just walking around trying to figure out who this JT Lightning was and how I was going to start training. I found him, he gave me a card, and a couple weeks later I called him and went for a tryout. Other than that, I would have had no idea whatsoever of how to go about training, how to, you know, for all I know, I would have been in New Jersey or down in Kentucky or who knows where, maybe even nowhere. If I would have found nothing, I would have known nothing about how to find the school and how to train.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Where do you see yourself in the future, though? Where do you want this career to go?
I don't ever, I guess, I don't know if it's a good thing or not. I don't ever look super far into the future. I kind of, I've always been one to take things day to day, week to, you know, nothing too crazy. I don't look at 5 years in the future. I look a couple weeks, couple months, maybe a year. So I don't get too crazy. Obviously right now I'm glad that I'm finally making it to the Shimmer roster. It's a step I wish I would have had, you know, 5 and 8 years ago or something. But, you know, with the promotions that I currently work for, my goal was to just better myself in these promotions to be looked at as a viable, you know, top girl. I want to move up the ranks in Shimmer and be looked at as a viable contender for any title, for any spot on the show. I want to be looked at as a good competitor. And with that, I want to go to these bigger promotions, these standout shows, you know, anywhere in any state, you know. I just want to be able to branch out and get to these bigger, better places. And of course, I'd love to go to Japan. I'd love to go to Ring of Honor, TNA, WWE. I'm trying to branch out as much as possible now before I sit back and you know, not let the throttle go any further. It's time to step up and go before it's time to calm it down.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, I agree with you on that. You've got something unique that I don't think anybody else has really got going on with the size and the intensity and the work you're doing. And some of those promos are so unique. I think it's a great potential. I still remember what a promoter in Atlanta told me a couple months ago. He said, I want people to know that just because it's indie wrestling doesn't mean it's bad. It's good wrestling. It's just not a big program. And since I've started thinking and watching, I see that's true. There's a lot of great promotions that people don't ever get to see. Thank God for YouTube. When I grew up, we didn't have the YouTube. Do you have a YouTube channel, or do you put is your stuff on other channels?
My stuff's kind of varied on a mix of channels. I do have my own. There's not very much on it. Just a couple matches I've recorded fairly recently on my phone that I just uploaded. I'm working at putting more onto my channel so I can get it out there. But yeah, I agree. When I grew up, it was the same thing because I didn't have much in terms of a social media or a YouTube or anything. That's why I knew nothing about indie wrestling. And that's why even today, like, a lot of people may know about it, but they don't respect it or care to watch it because they have all this great stuff on WWE TV, TNA, and so forth, which is fine and understandable, but there really is so much in indie wrestling that people miss out on, and including, you know, there's PWG and even Honor is still an indie promotion to a degree. All these places that are huge, you know, indie shows people catch on to, but people kind of miss out on the little local indie shows that still draw, you know, 500 fans and are still, you know, great names and great talent. You know, the people need to realize that there's more than just these top tier promotions. And a lot of these smaller promotions are where all those top tier guys started. And that's where you catch a lot of your younger, fresher, hungrier talent.
Exactly. Exactly. We've been working with a promotion that has a guy by the name of Thor Odinson. It's like, when is he coming in for an interview? When's he coming in for, we can't talk. We can't tell you. And all of a sudden, we find out the reason he wasn't coming in for an interview was he was at the Performance Center at a tryout. It's where you see your wrestling. It's where you know your wrestling. You can go to a WWE show. If you get a good seat, it's at least $100 for most shows, unless it's a house show. Then you got to park. You pay to park. You got to pay for food. Even if you don't buy any merchandise, you're still $100, $200, sometimes per person. But you can go to 8, 9, 10 indie shows for that same amount of money and get so much more out of it.
Absolutely.
It's
on top of it, guys sell their own, you know, t-shirts, their own pictures, and that money goes back to the indie wrestlers, you know, people like myself who want to be more, make more money in this business and do more, you know, that confides to us, and that shows us that people actually appreciate and respect us as fans because they see us and now they want to buy our stuff. Exactly. They want to come back to see us. And that's what really makes the difference between us and the bigger promotions. We have a hunger that we have to draw the people's attention. They kind of, in a way, already have it.
Yeah, it's great to see a promotion where the wrestlers come out and shake people's hands after the show or talk to people. And right. You can't get that in the big shows. Do you have a merchandise store? Do people have to reach you directly for it?
currently just reaching to me. I always have stuff at you know, any event that I'm on. I'm about to get new t-shirts and all kinds of other pictures and so forth. Plenty of new stuff coming ahead. I'm very limited right now with a big transition change and stuff in my character and my so forth. But pretty soon, I'm working on slowly building a website and a store and so forth for myself. But in the meantime, anyway, through social media, people can just get a hold of me and we can do a transaction online and so forth. And then, of course, you know, meeting me at shows and purchasing stuff at a show, you know, at a live event.
Yeah, thank God for PayPal. I'm sure that's got to be a huge boon to indie wrestling.
Absolutely.
My thing is, if you see a 5X shirt, if you get one 5X shirt, just let me know. I'm a big guy, and it's hard to get some of the shirts.
I remember that as I'm ordering my shirts here in a couple
of
days.
You got to order many. Just order one and let me know if you get one, because I definitely will buy it.
Absolutely.
And also, Pro Wrestling Tees is a great place to get indie shirts.
It is.
We have a shop there.
I don't have a store yet. I'm working on it.
We'll have to see if we can help you out on that one. But it's great. It's a great place to buy t-shirts. We got a store on there, and we're selling shirts. And I can't believe it when I – do you get a pop when you see people wearing your shirts? Like – in
absolutely.
Pictures.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's kind of silly. I hate to mark out totally, but when I see somebody at one of the shows, like shaking hands with a wrestler, you know, getting a picture, and they've got on one of our shows or shirts, it's like, wow, I did that. That's part of me.
That's the thing, you know, and especially when I go someplace that I've never been in, somebody comes to me, oh, I've seen so much of your stuff. I'm like, I've never wrestled with this promotion. I've never been in this state before, but these people already know you. They know they know what you've been through, whether it's, you know, they were at a different show in another state, or whether they saw your stuff online, or, you know, in your instance, you know, listening to you and so forth, you know, and it kind of humbles you enough to realize that, you know, people actually pay attention. They listen. They learn. And then when you go to those shows and you see them, you know, they have a picture they want you to sign. You took a picture with their kid, or they had a T-shirt from an old T-shirt from 5 years ago, and the crazy stuff. You know, it's the stuff that really humbles you and make you realize that, you know, you're progressing yourself and you're doing something, and it makes you happy to know that you're able to bring some kind of an impact on other people's lives as well.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I never knew how cool it was as a wrestling fan just going to WWE shows and, you know, buying that ticket and traveling. And the whole time I was back, God, 15 years ago when I was single, didn't have kids, and we were spending all our money traveling all over the Southeast to go to WWE shows and pay-per-views. And there were so many great promotions right here in Atlanta I could have been going to and having fun and having a blast and meeting wrestlers.
And so many more with that same amount of money you just spent on a WWE show.
Yeah, and nothing against the WWE. I don't think any of us would have really gotten involved or interested in wrestling without them out there at the forefront and, you know, carrying the flag for all of the promotions. But it's a different world out there in the indies. And seeing people that are, when you know they're actually working hard for their living and they're trying and they're going to put on a show for you, it's like seeing musicians, you know, pouring their heart and soul out in front of the crowd. Y'all are artists in your own ways, you know?
And it's even great as a wrestler to see other wrestlers be able to expand themselves. You know, I was just talking about how much I love wrestling. Heidi Lovelace. Ruby Riott. I didn't get a chance to work with her very much in the ring, but the few times we did, I feel like we had such fun, good matches. And now to see her progress and be where she is in NXT is just, it's amazing. It makes me happy for somebody like that to get that opportunity.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah. That's a big name. And it's someone I've gotten to see more of when I watch the NXT program. If you had to book a dream match, who would it be?
Oh, man. I do have a list, so to speak, especially for like the remainder of this year of girls who I really want to get, in the ring with. Current competitive indie wrestlers, I can't give just one name.
Just let us know all of them.
All of them?
Yeah.
I definitely want to get in the ring with Lufisto, which I actually will be here in December. I've never stepped in the ring with her once before. It'll be a first time ever match. And actually, I think that's a barbed wire bat match. Stuff's getting crazy with Rise, and apparently that's going down. So there's that to look forward to. So that's one match that's been on the list that is kind of half checked off list because it's going to happen. But Mercedes Martinez has been around for a long, long time, and I'd love to get a chance to work with her. I'd love to get another chance against like a Jessica Havoc. I haven't seen, you know, I haven't been in the ring with her in many years. Same thing with like a Nevaeh Christ. I haven't wrestled with her, in quite some time. I haven't even seen her in probably going on 3-4 years.
We got her in the studio for an interview, and, Nick couldn't go on. He couldn't stop talking about how awesome she was.
Nevaeh?
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't seen her, talk to her in a long time, but yeah, she was always an inspirational and such a good-hearted person. She always means the best and wants to help people and so forth. And you know, her experience in this business definitely shows, and she deserves to be so much further than she is as well. But of course, she has she kind of limited her travel and her bookings because she has two kids and she's married and so forth. But I mean, for what it is, she deserves to be so much further than where she is as well.
Yeah. Well, she's definitely a pro, I think.
Yeah. That's her main promotion is down there. I know she does Shimmer. She was doing Shine for a while, and I think she does maybe like one or two other bigger promotion, you know, bigger shows. Uh-huh. And that's pretty much about it.
I guess wrestling can be tough on a social life sometimes, you know, and we interviewed a wrestler a while back who had a daughter, and she was talking to us, and in the middle of her interview, her 2-year-old daughter just reached up, snatched the headphones right out of her face. It was funny. And I think we left all that in because, you know, it's more about meeting people than it is getting hard quotes and stuff to get headlines. It's just about meeting the people and letting people get to know them and giving somebody a chance to promote their stuff.
Right. This isn't a promo. This is for us to be able to let people know who we are and to give a reason for people to watch our product.
Yes. Yes. And bond with the people and get to know them. Besides Rise, do you have anything you want to promote these days?
I have a lot of local promotions that I do a lot of work for, at least in Ohio. I'm constantly wrestling for Mega Championship Wrestling in Elyria, Absolute Intense Wrestling up in Cleveland, Pro Wrestling Rampage out in Erie, Pennsylvania, IWC in Pittsburgh. I'm constantly trying to branch off and try some newer places, even if it's a one-time show. I'll be down in North Carolina here in a couple weeks, the weekend after Rise and Shimmer. I'm trying to find some newer places, trying to go back to some places that I may have gone to once or twice or so forth. But, those are the pretty stable, regular places that I'm constantly at. I'm trying to think of a couple others. But those are the main handful of promotions that I'm constantly wrestling for.
Who are you wrestling for in North Carolina?
It's actually a Michigan promotion, Pure Pro Wrestling. Uh-huh. They are running a spot show down in Winston-Salem at the fairgrounds. Okay. It just kind of came about, and the guy that's helping them put that together, I actually knew from where I'm from a couple years back. He helped another local promotion, Real Action Pro Wrestling, with some promotion and stuff, and now he's helping another promotion while he's in North Carolina, so he's bringing them down to kind of, you know, do a little show and get some recognition elsewhere. So he just happened to get a hold of me because he couldn't find another female and knew I was reliable. So he contacted me to go down there.
That can be everything sometimes. You got to know somebody's going to show up for a show.
Yep.
Got to come to Atlanta sometimes. Sue Young and Priscilla Kelly are doing a big business down here for Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment. They've done some – the last show I went to, they were the main event. And I was just amazed by the brutality and the intensity of the women. And I think they've got a tag team match coming up at their next event, with some other people. So I look forward to the women's wrestling because it's the more it's the more interesting for me wrestling. It's my favorite wrestling on the WWE. It tends to be the best stuff to see. And I know young and upcoming women wrestlers and people that are talking about getting into the business. And what do you see as the biggest positive about being a woman in the wrestling world right now?
Right now, I feel like no matter what show any female wrestler is on, right now the attention is on the females. It could be a positive or a negative depending on you know who you are and how long you've been around, because all eyes are on you. You have to make that lasting impression. And then on top of it, for those who aren't as into the women's revolution, aren't paying attention, it's an opportunity for us to go ahead and show them why they should be paying attention to us. And I mean, I definitely, you know, intend on, you know, drawing some more attention and getting more focus on me, because I mean, I have to promote myself. I have to put myself out there. So, I mean, for me, I want that. I want people to say, oh, we want to check out Angelus. We want to see what she has going on. You know, we want to see what this character is, what this change is all about. We want to be drawn into something. And then once they see that, they say, well, what's this girl over here and this indie promotion? Or then on top of it to WWE and so forth, where do these girls come from and how do they get there? And now I want to see who they were before they were here. You know, it's a time for everybody to kind of push themselves together to put themselves out there.
Wow, that is a good point. You have a lot to say about the business, and that's great. That really is great. It's always exciting to talk to somebody where you can tell they've got the passion about what they're doing and they believe in what they're doing.
And the worst about it is I hate talking. I don't do a lot of promos. I've just recently started doing podcasts and interviews and so forth. But I feel like, you know, not as like I'm a 10-year vet of the business. I still feel like I'm a 10-year professional wrestler. I'm still learning. I'm no vet. I'm still putting myself out there to get better, to earn that vet status. I want to learn from the people, and I always feel like I can learn from somebody. But I've gotten to the point where I realize that you don't learn and you don't grasp things and you can't get that information without sitting down and having a conversation. You know, you can't sit down and say, well, this is what I think I need to do and this is what I need to do, as opposed to sitting down with, you know, even on an interview or on, you know, with other girls and be able to sit and have that conversation of, what do I need to do? What do you think about this? And why am I not where I should be? Or why am I where I am and not somebody else? You know, it's an opportunity to now, you know, put myself out there so people realize not just who I am and where I've been, but where I want to go.
Well, for somebody who doesn't like talking, you've given me a fantastic interview today. It's been really been a pleasure. Now, are you going to go through the Rise seminar also, or are you just going to be on the card on the next day?
No, I am always in for a learning experience. I feel whether somebody has been wrestling for, you know, a year or still in training, or had 10 years and 20 years, and for that matter, you know, this next seminar is Dr. Tom Pritchard.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely somebody.
I don't care if
I've been wrestling.
Sorry, I'm marking over here.
I can wrestle for 50 years and still learn something. So for me, I've actually been asked, you know, why do you do these seminars? What's this doing for you? I can still learn from something. And I guarantee you I'm going to learn so much more from that than doing 20 shows in the next 2 weekends. You know, it's an opportunity for me to grow and for me to get better so that I can earn those spots, you know, winning titles and moving up the ladder at Shimmer or other places for that matter. It's showing that I want it, but at the same time, it's for me to get where I want and to be confident in myself and to say, I've learned this and now I can progress myself and do better.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I don't think you can learn from anybody better in the business than Tom Pritchard. I mean, of all his amazing credentials, he is the one I remember as a little kid watching wrestling in Birmingham. I mean, but he's done it all everywhere. So, I mean, it's great that's available to y'all these days. And, Kevin was a fascinating interview. He was so captivating talking to him, about how passionate he is for his product and the ability to provide a service where they can train and help women wrestlers to go forward, it was just amazing.
A little story on that. He is, and I did listen to a majority of that interview. I didn't quite get to finish it yet. I know exactly what you're saying, because as you're explaining it, I can hear that interview with him, exactly how you're explaining it, just how he speaks and how passionate he is. And he really does want to help out these girls. And it's not just girls, you know, like that Rise 3.1, the seminar to help ring announcers and promoters, ring announcers and referees and so forth. You know, and then GAIN, it's for guys and girls. He wants to help GAIN everybody, but of course, with having that affiliate with Shimmer, he kind of has that backstory, so he really wants to help push other females. But when it came to the first Rise back in November with Soraya Knight and Cole Kamea, now granted, we knew we were going to get a good seminar, but on the car ride in, there was a group of us that rode out together, and we were all wondering if we were just getting ribbed, if we were getting messed with, if, you know, Colt and Soraya were actually going to be there and show up and do the seminar, or if we were all going to show up and have to pay for a hotel room and travel to Chicago for no reason. We were all gung ho, and then we started driving, and this long drive just got longer and longer, and we started doubting things and started wondering what was actually in store for us. And for everybody who took part of Rise 1, and at this point Rise 2, and I'm sure GAIN, everybody realizes just how passionate not only Kevin, but also, you know, Colt Cabana, Soraya Knight, and then, of course, you know, even in Dave Prazak, like, people just realize that these individuals want to help anybody and everybody in as much positivity as possible, but on top of it, to help all the girls that step up and show that they want to put that effort in. And I'm glad that all the girls that so far have taken the opportunity, including myself, I'm glad we've taken this opportunity, because I'm learning so much, even as a 10-year vet, so to speak.
Well, wow. That's a great opportunity. I've always wanted to work in a situation where everybody was as passionate about what they did as I was, or took it as seriously as I did. And that's hard to find in the world these days. And especially, from what I hear about the world of wrestling, there's a lot of different, you know, a lot of different personalities and issues and egos and stuff. But to find a place to work like that, that's awesome.
It is. I'm glad to be a part of it. And I wish more promotions and more individuals would take advantage and realizing that if we all work together and great, and there's a ton of indie wrestlers, there's a ton of promoters and promotions, so it's kind of hard for everybody to be on that same scale. But if everybody worked together, we could all just benefit from it. You know, everybody helps each other get bookings, and everybody helps each other try and learn. And people realize that these seminars aren't just to, you know, make some extra money to pay some big name to come in. These seminars are for us to learn. I just did a seminar a couple weeks ago with Adam Cool. And even that seminar on, you know, including these Rise seminars, is just something that nobody realizes how important they are. You know, everybody walks out of every seminar that I've been to so far learning more than you could imagine. And I'm glad that, you know, people are realizing that this is out there. I'm glad Rise has jumped to the occasion, and a lot of people are taking notice of it.
That is great. I have had such a great time talking with you today, and thank you for sitting down with me.
Thank you.
Anything you need, just let me know. Anything you ever want to promote. Well, folks, I have a great interview today with Angel Dust. Thank you for tuning in. If you liked what you heard today, folks, why don't you go on over to tappedoutwrestlingpodcast.com, where you can find this show and many more like it right there in the center of our page on our player. We're on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, all of the great places to find podcasts. You can look for us on Twitter at Tapped Out Pod, at Tapped Out Pod. I'm at Myron the Mark TOP. You can email us at tappedoutwrestlingpodcast@gmail.com. Once again, our website is tappedoutwrestlingpodcast.com. It has a link to our player. It has a link to our Amazon affiliate program, where when you set that as your tab and you go through there to purchase on Amazon, they give us a commission at no charge to you. That helps support the show and everything we're trying to do here. Also, we're a Fight Network affiliate, where you can go and watch Ring of Honor, TNA, all the great indie wrestling promotions there, and purchase pay-per-views, and they also give us permission. We do appreciate your support, and thanks for listening.